welcome to City Light Church Online. So glad that you are here. I'm Pastor Doug Shimoda. We're in a series entitled United. We're going to talk about getting back to belonging. You know, we've been through something that we never imagined that we would go through. A pandemic, and along with it, financial crisis, racial tension, churches being shut down, businesses being closed, community activities shut down, no sports, no getting together for coffee, no hanging with your friends, no interaction, no touching, instead getting angry looks from some people. You know, we've been isolated, we've been alone, and it's not good. It's not good for us physically, emotionally, financially, and it's not good for us spiritually. One of the first things that God said about man is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." See, God is telling us that we need people. We need human touch. All kinds of studies have been done, and they all show that isolation has adverse health effects on people, including stuff like depression or poor sleep quality, accelerated cognitive decline, poor cardiovascular function, and impaired immunity. In 2014, a study was done at a major university in Pittsburgh that showed that hugging can actually fight off infections. See, we need wholesome physical touch, and that lack of touch or touch starvation increases stress, depression, and anxiety, and it triggers all kinds of physiological effects. When we feel a hug or a friendly touch on the skin, our brains actually release this substance called antitoxin. And antitoxin gives us good feelings of trust and connection and decreases our fear and anxiety. God made love and God made touch so important to us as human beings. See, we've been missing that connection, and it's time to connect as much as possible. Amen? As tragic as this pandemic has been, one of the most valuable lessons that we learned for the church is that the church is not just a building, but it's a body of redeemed believers. See, we realize the value of online church for the employee, maybe who is never able to attend on Sunday, or to those who are shut in because of age or illness. You know, we've been blessed by online church, and we're thankful for online church. It's been a good substitute in the interim. But having said that, there's no substitute for believers actually gathering together, whether it's under a roof or under a sky, it's irrelevant. You know, but we see the church needing to get together. We see the persecuted church all the way around the other side of the world in countries like China or in Muslim countries where millions of Christians are going underground, meeting in secret, risking their lives to connect and to fellowship, to worship, and to be taught just to belong. See, the group matters. Koinonia, fellowship, is so important. The word together is repeated throughout the book of Acts. See, things happen in the book of Acts that couldn't have happened otherwise. See, there's this power of the critical mass when it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us when people gather. In Acts chapter 10, when the Roman, the Italian regiment leader Cornelius, who was a devout man, he gathered his family, his friends together into his home to hear the Apostle Peter come and preach the good news to them. When he did that and they were all together, the Holy Spirit's presence and the power came down on them. See, there's this power of just being together. And then there's the power of worship, of just being in a chorus of voices together. And that's when the anointing, the corporate anointing, comes down. And it's awesome. And it's only when we're together, when we are gathered together as one. And not to mention the fellowship of handshakes or hugs or the laying on of hands to pray for sick people. See, I believe that faith has no walls and there's no distance in prayer. But the power of an energized, participating, engaged congregation cannot be duplicated online. You know what it's called? It's called body life. Body life. We need it all. And all of us need body life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were united. They were together. They were one. And that was the day that the church was formed. It was launched and it was released. I heard the story about a minister. One Sunday, a minister who was giving a children's sermon to all the kids in church. There was this bright-eyed three-year-old girl who was listening very intently as he explained that God wanted them all to get along and to love one another. And she was tracking with the pastor until he said, God wants all of us to be one. To which the little girl replied, but I don't want to be one, I want to be four. See, some people are like that. Some people don't want to be a part of the one either. United as one. One of my favorite people in the Bible is David. He's a man with a heart after God. In Psalm 27 verse 1, listen to the words of David. David said, The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy and singing and praising the Lord with music. You know, if you have a heart for God, then you will have a heart for his house. You know, you heard that saying. Some people say that absence makes the heart go fonder. While that saying might be true in human relationships, in some human relationships, but in our relationship with God and his church, I think that absence makes the heart wander. And when we wander, that's when we often go to war with other people. Acts chapter 2 verse 46 says they worship together at the temple each day. Underline that, those words, each day. They met in their homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, this is a picture of the church. This is the picture of the gathered church. Gathering is just a part, is a major part actually, of our faith expression. See, this is a picture of health. This is a picture of community, and this is a picture of family. The online church, yeah, we're thankful to God for it, but it's just for a season. We need to get back to belonging. See, we need to push back against isolation, push back against loneliness, and be the church. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter said, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are fully established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. What Peter is saying is this. Sometimes we forget. We forget who we are. We forget who we are to be in this world. And so I need to remind you. I need to refresh your memory of who you are, of who we are. We are the church. And as the church, number one, we are God's house. Ephesians 2 verse 20. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. We are God's house. Number two, we are God, Christ's body. We are the manifest presence of Jesus on this earth. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his face, we are his voice. Ephesians 4 verse 5. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now listen to this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Are you a part? See, we can't live without your part. Without your part, you know, we're a limping body. We are Christ's body, and you are a part of that body. Number three, we are God's family. And as God's family, it's a family that will far outlast your natural family, the ones you will spend eternity with. Even closer than your natural family, because we're related by Christ. We are saved by His blood and we are born of His Spirit. Ephesians 2:19. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Number four, we are His bride. We are His bride, totally in love with Jesus, willing to die for Him. Ephesians 5:31. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. We're to be one, inseparable, one, united, totally in love with Jesus, willing to wait upon Him, willing to die for Him. Number five, we are His army. We are enlisted by God to be in a spiritual war. See, we will win when we are one and when we are united. You've heard the saying, united we stand, divided we fall. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We are His army, a strong, victorious army, waging war on the powers of darkness. So let's show up. Let's be a part of His army. And one more, Jesus said, we are a city on the hill. In other words, we're a counter-cultural people. It's the culture of the kingdom of heaven. And it doesn't exist parallel or run beside the culture of this world. It's so much higher, way above the realm of this world. See, this is who you are. This is who we are as the church. We are the city on the hill. And we've got to get out of our darkness, out of our isolation. We got to rise up and we have to shine. Let's get back. So we need to get back to health. We need to get back to belonging, back to being united. I want you to listen carefully to these words in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Listen carefully as we read these words. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, now listen to this, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. The writer of Hebrews here exhorts us, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, all that He has done for us, and because of what we're in right now, because of what COVID-19 has done to us, number one, let us draw close. Let us go right into the presence of God, verse 22. Number two, let us hold fast. Let us hold on, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, the hope of a great future, a better future, way beyond this pandemic. Number three, let us love one another. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And number four, let us not neglect meeting together. Verse 25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, I said last week that as a pastor, I used to think that everything about the church, about the health of the church, the growth of the church, it all depended on me, on how well I did and all my abilities. But since then, I've realized that everything does not rise or fall just on me or my abilities, but rather everything rises and falls and depends on whether each of us are doing our part for the greater good, for Jesus, for the kingdom. See, I realize that I'm only one piece of the puzzle. And when you have a puzzle, you always notice the one missing piece. See, you're an important piece, and you fit, and we need you to function. See, this is not the time to isolate and to be alone. This is the time when we just break out and belong. See, it's time to be a part of the family of God. You are a Christian. We are His church. Amen? Amen. I want to give you one announcement before I finish this message. Here it is. The announcement is that City Light Church is open. The church is back to meeting. So join us. Join us next Sunday at 10:30. All the proper protocols of hygiene and social distancing will be in place. It's a safe place to come back. It's a safe place to come home to. No, it's great to have you online with us, but we really want to see you in person. And if you have any concerns about our in-person services, just please call us. Amen? Amen. Just bow your heads for a minute. You know, maybe today, you're here and you're watching, and you never received what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. He came to give you life, and that abundantly. A life that's free from the fear of death, the fear of hell, and the fear of oppression from the enemy. Salvation is God's greatest gift of love, and you find it when you ask Jesus into your heart. The Bible says God loved the world so much, God so loved you, that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him will not perish, but have eternal life, the gift of eternal life. And if that's you, you've never personally invited Christ into your heart and received His gift of eternal life, then this is the day and this is the time where you can repeat this short and simple prayer after me. And I promise you, you say this prayer and you will never be the same. Are you ready for this prayer? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Repeat this prayer to God. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for loving me and proving it to me by dying on the cross to pay for my sins. Please forgive me of every sin that I've ever committed. Today and now, Lord, I invite you into my heart. I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to say, if you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the church, the family of God. Now, if you said that prayer, I want you to push that little hand at the bottom of the screen just to let us know that you said that prayer. And then call the number at the bottom of the screen, and we'll connect you with someone who will tell you what your next faith step with God will be. Again, I want to thank you for joining us today. We will see you next Sunday, and we hope to see you in church. God bless you.